I think there's a problem here with successive American administrations, and I think Obama is doomed to repeat the failures of previous presidents. I'll tell you why. There seems to be a very patronizing approach by the American administration whereby we know best and we can impose peace from above. America will decide and the region will have to cope with the ramifications and consequences. Peace comes from the grassroots. It grows from the inside. It cannot be imposed in a kind of authoritative way by an outside party. That's the first point. So I think the Americans are coming into this again with the big brother, Uncle Sam knows best. The other issue is, and I think that's very, very important, is that we need to find out what the Arab world, that is Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Egypt, Syria, that is the totality of the Arab world, is willing to do to promote peace between Israel and the Palestinians. We haven't heard from them. Let's also remember that the Americans have made many mistakes in the past. For example, Condoleezza Rice insisted in a very strong way that elections, free and democratic elections, take place within Gaza. And we ended up with Hamas, which turned the entire Gaza into a launching pad for rockets. You know, some 12,000 rockets have landed in Israel and led to the unfortunate recent war. So the Americans have not always got this right. Peace will only emanate when the two sides are willing to sit down and talk, when the Palestinians renounce terrorism, when they recognize Israel's right to exist. Like happened in 1977 with Egypt and Israel, when President Anwar Sadat at that time publicly said, I'm willing to come to Jerusalem and talk peace. I also believe that there's a problem with how the Palestinians will govern themselves. And, you know, they've been offered, one Israeli foreign minister once said that the Palestinians never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. And I think that's true. They've had many opportunities with Oslo Accords, the Camp David. Let's look what happened with the Gaza disengagement in 2006. Israel, 2005, 2006, Israel withdrew, dismantled all of its settlements in Gaza. And the only thing that it got in return was terrorism, the launching of rockets. So I think there needs to be a genuine desire on the part of the Palestinian people. The freezing of the settlements won't make a difference. It will not make a difference. The only difference that it will make is that it will be an artificial one. But I don't think it will make a real difference. The Palestinian people need to want a genuine peace with Israel. And may I say also that consistent surveys within Israel have shown that the majority of Israelis, A, support a Palestinian state, that is the two-state solution, and B, that most Israelis are willing to make territorial concessions. They are willing to make territorial concessions as long as they know that there are some ironclad guarantees. What happens if Obama's initiative, if the Israelis agree to freeze expansion of settlements, or in a sense, a natural growth of the settlements? What happens if in a year's time that fails? I mean, that's what happened in a sense with Gaza, that Israel withdrew and it failed. And the last thing I'll mention is that I think Obama is, in a sense, violating some of the assurances given by previous American administrations. For instance, in 2004, President Bush wrote a letter to then Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, saying that in any peace treaty, any resolution of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, they will have to take into account demographic changes since 1967. Obama now seems to ignore this. So again, the point is that the major issue is not the settlements. The main issue is renunciation of terrorism by the Palestinian people, the stopping of incitement, and also a willingness to sit down with the Israelis and be reasonable. I think that's the key thing. I think it's important to keep in mind, first of all, that we have two leaders who've been elected recently and have only been in the job for a few months, Obama in January of this year and Benjamin Netanyahu at the end of March. So in a sense, they're both feeling their way through and trying to craft a policy. I think that there's a problem with the Obama administration. I think we have a massive ignorance from the Obama side about the history of the conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians. I also find it astonishing that at a time when, in a sense, Obama is facing significant foreign policy issues, for example, a nuclear North Korea firing missiles, an Iranian regime which talks about wiping Israel off the map and pursuing an ambitious nuclear agenda. We've got the resurgence of the Taliban in Afghanistan. We've got a bleeding and divided Iraq. We've got Turkey, who may go towards a more Islamist viewpoint. We also have the problem with Pakistan, that its nukes may fall into the wrong hands. So we have all these, you know, hot button burning issues, and yet we have Obama making his major policy initiative the freezing of the settlements. So I think that's problematic, that he's making this. The other issue is that I think Obama is mistakenly assuming, and I think Clinton too, that Secretary Clinton, that the settlements are the major obstacle to resolving the long-standing and, in a sense, intractable conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Let's take a few points to remember. First of all, the issue of settlements. What are the settlements? The settlements can be defined in various ways. The Israeli government does not see every single settlement in the West Bank as illegal, because many of them were authorized by the government. The other issue is, how do you actually define a settlement? Do you define a town like Male Edomim, which has 30,000 residents, or a town like Kiryat Shmona, which has 22,000? So it's problematic. The other issue is that you don't have reciprocal demands. The Obama administration is saying to the Israeli government and to Netanyahu, we want you to freeze settlements. What is it asking the Palestinians to do? It's telling them, we want you to stop terror and to stop the incitement. And yet we have President Abbas, who visited Washington recently, saying to the Washington Post, I will not say or do anything until Israel signs on the dotted line that it's willing to make more concessions. So in a sense, we don't have any proactive approach from the Palestinians to actually do something to promote, to push forward the peace between them and the Israelis. Two or three more quick points. Abbas himself has said that he supports, at various points, armed struggle against Israel. So who, you've got the president of the Palestinian Authority actually promoting armed struggle against Israel. The other issue is that the Palestinian people are divided. You've got Hamas in the West Bank, Hamas in the Gaza, and you've got Fatah in the West Bank. And I think this civil war that has been going on between the two factions is going to make it very difficult for any American administration and any Israeli administration to actually work together with the Palestinians. The other problem is that the Israeli people and the government are very skeptical. Let's not forget that in 1993, during the Oslo Accords, the Palestinians were offered self-autonomy, and this was, in a sense, sabotaged by terrorist attacks. In 2000, Prime Minister Barak met with Clinton and Arafat at Camp David and offered 97% of the West Bank, offered to dismantle 100 settlements, and also offered a Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as its capital, and this was rejected. Israel has fought three wars over the last 9 years, the Second Intifada, the Second Lebanon War, and now Operation Cast Lead in Gaza. The Israeli people are very skeptical about any kind of agreement which may jeopardize their security.